Hello, this is Frank Bell. Today I'm going to talk about my recent experiences with Magia. I'm motivated to do this because it's been fun playing with Magia. However, I cannot call this a review. It's not disciplined enough. I had already had Magia installed, up and running, and configured when it occurred to me it might be a good topic for a podcast. I must say that part of my motivation is the fellow on Sunday Morning Linux Review who keeps saying that he doesn't think anybody actually uses Magia. He can now say that there are at least two. I have a friend here in my lug who has been using Mandrake and then Mandriva and now Magia for years and years and years. Now, I had not looked at Magia for a long time. In fact, the last time I looked at this particular distro, it was when Mandrake had just been forced to change their name to Mandriva because they were charged with infringing on the copyright of Mandrake the Magician. I understand that the Mandrake roots fought this claim, but they had no standing in court, being vegetables. First, a little bit about the computer. The machine I have it on is a Lenovo ThinkCenter graphics tablet. It's an absolutely gorgeous machine, which I was fortunate enough to receive as a gift. It has 4 gigs of RAM and a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and it just screams. It came with Windows 7 on it. I have run on it Wubi alongside Windows 7, then I set it up dual boot with Mint 13, and now I have it dual boot with Windows 7 and Magia. The way I got to Magia had to do with my own bumbling incompetence. I was trying to upgrade my Mint install. Everything seemed to go smoothly until it came time for me to log into my new upgraded Mint machine, and I couldn't. So being lazy, I decided rather than try to fix that problem, I simply hop over and try something else. And I happen to have a Magia 2 disk lying around. So I slapped it into the disk drive, rebooted, and installed Magia 2. The install was very smooth. I pointed it at the partition where Mint was installed. It asked me the usual questions about time zone and keyboard layout, had me set up a password for root. Yes, Magia still believes in root. And a password and username for a regular user. And about 45 minutes later, I was logged into my nice new Magia 2 machine. I installed some of my favorite applications, the Opera browser, Fluxbox, though I haven't yet tried to configure up Fluxbox on this, E17 for a desktop, VirtualBox, and a couple of small utilities, particularly the KeePassX password vault. Now, the version of E17 that came on that install was actually the E-almost 17 version 16.999.xxx. I actually had the Magia disk because I had used it in VirtualBox to investigate Enlightenment when I did my couple of podcasts about Enlightenment a few months ago. This particular version of Magia was the KDE version. There are several spins available to install KDE and GNOME, possibly some others. And I picked the KDE version because although I'm not a big fan of KDE as a desktop, it's got more bells and louder whistles than I find help me in my workflow, but I really do like a number of KDE applications. In particular, Kate, Ksnapshot, Conqueror. Yes, I still use Conqueror. I've never moved to Dolphin, but Conqueror is my file browser of choice. So with those applications installed, the base install was about 6.5 gigabytes, which really isn't bad. However, I did notice that it's not a full KDE install. As a Slackware user, I always end up coming back to Slackware. I'm used to the full KDE install that comes with Slackware, and I noticed in this case, Caligra, for example, the Office suite, the old renamed KOffice, was not included. In its place was LibreOffice, which is fine with me because LibreOffice is my Office suite of choice. I also noticed that Kate, my preferred text editor, was not installed, although KWrite was. So there were a couple of missing KDE apps that I like to use that I was able to get very easily from the repos. After a little while, I came out of my bubble and realized that Mageia 3 had already been released. Not wanting to blow away what I had just done, I decided to see whether there was a way I could simply upgrade from Mageia 2 to Mageia 3. And I found there was. I've got a link in the show notes to the Mageia 3 release notes, which detail how to do that. The thumbnail version is to download and install an application called MGA Online, which is a desktop applet that can run under GNOME or KDE, and to make sure that you've got all your updates applied to your Mageia 2 box, of course. I did the updates. I installed MGA Online, logged out of E17 in the session chooser, logged back in to KDE, and the MGA Online application ran and told me what to do. How it works is detailed nicely at the link that's in the show notes. The short version is it told me there's a new version available. Reboot your computer and select prepare for upgrade. And I did. And when I rebooted, the upgrade process started. I followed the instructions, got it going, and then I went away and wandered around the house doing chores for a couple of hours or so. I'm not sure exactly how long I was gone, but when I came back, it was ready for me to reboot into my new Mageia 3 installation. And it worked flawlessly. In the process, it upgraded not only the base Mageia stuff, but I noticed that my Enlightenment desktop had been upgraded from almost 17 to E17.2 with all the additional functionality that a full-fledged E17 install has, and working very, very smoothly. Some additional notes. By default, Mageia boots to a graphical display manager. In the session chooser, you will see the following choices. The first item will be default. And in my case, if I select default and log in, it logs me into KDE. By the way, I have to say, the first time you log into KDE, you get the traditional KDE welcome, the big square on the screen with the icons flashing as the desktop loads. But in subsequent times, it's an incredibly smooth transition from the graphical display manager right into the KDE desktop without those flashing icons. That's a nice piece of integrating KDE with the Mageia distro. Other choices on the session chooser include IceWM, which works. I might even use it for a while and learn how to configure it, just out of curiosity. It also includes choices for GNOME and GNOME Classic, but they do not work, which I find rather puzzling. Why should they appear if GNOME and GNOME Classic are not installed on the machine, unless they are somehow hard-coded into the GDM? There's also an entry on mine that says KDE4, as distinct from the entry that says default. That will also take me into KDE4. There's one called Failsafe, and if you select the Failsafe desktop, you actually do not go into a graphical desktop. Rather, an X-terminal window opens and you can do whatever diagnostics and recovery you need to do to fix the problem that had forced you to choose fail-safe mode. And the last item on the list is Drake 3D. This is an interesting one. I tried logging into it and I got a dialog to turn on 3D effects. So I did, and I logged out, I logged back in, and I got the same dialog. So I went hunting, and what I found on the Magia forums, and again, the link will be in the show notes, the Drake 3D entry is there simply to allow you to set up 3D effects for use in other desktops. It is not a desktop itself. It means if you screw up your 3D settings and cannot log in, you can always get into the Drake 3D dialog to reset them. And I in fact found myself taking advantage of this because I discovered that E17 did not like the 3D effects, and I was shortly afterwards logging into the Drake 3D to turn them off, and then I was able to smoothly log back into E17 and go about my way. In addition, for you folks who cut your teeth on Ubuntu, Magia does not pre-configure a sudoers file. If you have succumbed to Ubuntu sudo fetish, you will need to configure the sudo file yourself. You would open a terminal, su to root, type su, hit enter. When it asks for your root password, enter your root password, then enter the command vi sudo, Victor, India, Sierra, Uniform, Delta, Ohio, and that will open the editor specifically for the sudoers file. And in there you can enable sudo writes for your user if you wish. I don't like to, but that's probably because I started with Slackware and I got so used to suing to root, or when necessary actually logging in as root, that I just as soon go in as root, do my root stuff, and get out, then play around with a bunch of sudo stuff. The heart of the configuration for Magia is the Magia Control Center, or the MCC. In the MCC, you will find GUI tools for doing all kinds of configuration stuff. When you start the MCC, Magia will prompt for your root password. Once you're in, you can configure users and password, your firewall, add remove software, hardware settings, diagnostics, and so on. It's very nicely arranged and really easy to use. One note about adding and removing software, I think the actual Magia term on the menu is install and remove software. You can access the software tool directly from the menu or from the MCC. But for many of the other functions, it's just easiest to start the MCC. The graphical front end for installing and removing software, which is known as RPM Drake, if you invoke it directly from the command line, is very nice. I find it a lot easier to use than, even though this is an RPM-based distro, I do find this a lot easier to use than the graphical add-remove software in, say, CentOS or Fedora. They've done a nice job in streamlining it and facilitating the searches. One thing I found, and I don't know if this is common, but I had to enable repos to do my updates when I first installed Magia 2. And you do not do this from inside the install and remove software tool. In the Magia Control Center, in the software area where you would find the update your computer, install and remove software, there's a separate item for configuring the repos. And when I looked in there, I found all I had configured under the Magia 2 install was this installation disk. and I had to uncheck that and then check the regular Magia repos. And this is going to lead to something else a little later. Now, I mentioned RPM Drake. Drake is a leftover term from Mandrake. And in the old Mandrake distro, all your tools were Drakes of some sort. If you do an ls/sbin/*drake, there are several Drakes that can be invoked from the command line by root. All of these can also be invoked from the Magia Control Center. There's an add user Drake and a user Drake. Add user Drake only allows you to add a user. User Drake allows you to add a user and configure or remove existing users. A keyboard Drake for configuring your keyboard layout and type. A mouse Drake for selecting the type of mouse you have. I did not see any selections in there for configuring mouse behavior, say, for example, selecting a right-handed versus a left-handed button. That's elsewhere in the system. But simply a PS2 mouse, or generic mouse, any old mouse, two-button mouse, three-button mouse, choices of that nature. There's a scanner Drake for setting up your scanner. I ran it and it prompted me that the same scanner packages needed to be installed. Apparently they were not installed at default. And I gave it permission and it installed them. I have other issues with my scanner I'll come back to later. There's Disk Drake, which is a disk partitioning tool. Now that gave me some pause. I have a couple of external drives attached to this machine. They're both formatted NTFS because sometimes I find myself compelled to boot to the Windows side, if only once a month to make sure I get the updates. And I looked at one of those externals, a 1 gig iOmega, and this Drake told me that it had a 164 gig partition on it and the rest was empty space. However, when I do a df, a disk free command, it tells me that that external is a terabyte, 994 gigs or whatever the exact measurement is, with 19% free, which is what it is, because I know how much stuff I put on that drive. So I'm a little puzzled why RPM Drake would tell me that it has over 800 gigabytes of empty space. Perhaps if someone happens to know the answer, put it in the comments to this post on the Hacker Public Radio website. You might help someone else. But in the meantime, this tells me to be a little bit leery of Disk Drake until I understand it better. There's Log Drake, which is a really nice tool for searching log files. You can select which log files you want to search, put in your search term, and have a go at it and see what you can find. If you've got the kind of problem that sent you scurrying to the log files, which I hope you don't. Those are usually not nice problems. There's RPM Drake, which, as I mentioned before, is the install and remove software tool. There's one called Transfug Drake, TransfugDrake, which is a wizard for importing Windows documents and settings into your Magia system. I'm not touching that one, but I guess, you know, it could be useful in some certain circumstances. I suspect it's probably a holdover from the earlier days of Linux, when Linux was not as versatile, stable, or as highly developed as it is now. I've never had any problem. I've never wanted to import my Windows settings into a Linux system, and I can usually get the documents with no trouble at all. And then there's one called XF Drake. That's uppercase X, uppercase F, and then lowercase Drake, where you can configure some settings for your video. I saw two interesting particular options. You can enable transparency, and you can turn on or off the graphical display manager at boot. As I mentioned, by default it's on. I have not yet tested turning it off. I will probably one day when I have some time on my hands turn it off, reboot, and see exactly what happens, whether or not I have to set up a DOCSX and NRC file to start my graphical desktop or what have you. But those are the drakes that I saw swimming on that pond. A couple of other things I ran into. I have a number of MP4 files, and I played these successfully in Slackware and Windows, and so I went to play them in VLC for the first time, and VLC threw this following warning: no suitable decoder module. VLC does not support the audio or video format MP4A. Unfortunately, there is no way for you to fix this. And I think MP4A refers to the audio, because when I played these, I had video but no audio. So I did some searching, and I rather quickly found an answer on the Magia forums again, and I'll have a link to this particular forum post in the show notes, telling me that I would need to download VLC and install it from the tainted repositories. So the word tainted, of course, is kind of scary. So I did a little research and found out that in Magia world, tainted means this. And this is from the Magia release notes. The tainted repository includes packages released under a free license. The main criteria for placing packages in this repository is that they may infringe on patents and copyright laws in some countries, e.g. multimedia codecs needed to play various audio-video files, packages needed to play commercial video DVDs, and so on. It seems kind of similar to what in Debian world is referred to as non-free. Looking, because I wanted to play my video, I went looking in the RPM Drake, the install and remove software tool, and I searched for the word tainted. I searched for the word MP4, and the first thing I found was something called Zine-FAAD. I don't know what FAAD stands for in this context, but I installed that, and I was able to play those MP4s then successfully in Zine. Yesterday, while I was polishing up my notes for this, I decided to attack the VLC problem again, and I did find, I didn't mention, but in order to search for stuff in the tainted repos, I had to go back into my repository configuration and enable the tainted repos. The ones I had previously enabled were not the tainted ones. The tainted ones actually had tainted in the name of the repository. I did finally get these videos playing in VLC. What I found I had to do was that simply installing VLC from the tainted repos was not enough. I had to first remove it and then install the tainted version and the appropriate tainted plugins, and now those MP4s play just fine. I'm having another problem setting up my printer. I have an HP L7680, a really nice printer. It's getting on to being, 6 years old now, but it's really been a rock of a machine. It works fine with every other computer I have in the house, but when I try to print from Magia, no luck. I've set it up both using Magia's own configure printer tools, then deleted it from CUPS and set it up using HP Lip. I've never before had a problem with my HP printer using HP Lip to set up the drivers. And when I print, if I print one page, it pulls two sheets of paper. It prints three disjointed lines at the top of the first sheet, and the second sheet comes out blank. When I looked at the log files, and the log files seem to indicate that the computer thinks everything printed just fine. And the printer, yes, I have tested it. It is still working fine from my Slackware machine on the other side of the room, or from my Debian machine that sits right next to this Magia box. So that one I'm still puzzling on. I've got a thread started on Linux questions. Hopefully I'll find an answer there. If I do, I will post that in the show notes so that anyone stumbling across SUF will find out what the resolution is. My overall reaction to Magia 3, it is slick. It's a nice piece of work. I am not really a big fan of RPM distributions. I really don't think that has much to do with the package format anymore. As long as you stick to your own distros, repos, you're probably in good shape. I think it has to do with how the graphical package managers work. I really like Synaptic. Synaptic is just so easy to use and search. And in my experience with, say, CentOS and with Fedora, I have not found their graphical package managers to be of the same caliber. However, I will say this RPM Drake is just a nice piece of work. And it does not get in the way of what you're trying to do, which, to my mind, is really the key. To quote the fellows from the Going Linux podcast, you want to be able to use Linux to get things done, as opposed to use Linux to trying to fix Linux. Anyway, I hope if you're considering doing a little distro hopping, and you've been thinking about maybe trying Magia, that this helps you out a bit. And I'll talk to you later. If you want to email me, you can email me at frank@pineviewfarm.net. Pineview Farm is all one word, no spaces, no punctuation. And my website is www.pineviewfarm.net. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.